Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The study of Christian evidences is an investigation of those things that show that the Bible is not just another and an ordinary book, but that is what it claims to be, namely the Word of God. Now those who believe this claim ought to have good reason for their faith. We're not expected by the Lord to just accept blindly whatever someone might tell us. There is evidence to show that the Scripture is inspired, and we should be acquainted with it. Such knowledge is reassuring and comforting to us. In our society, there's an ever-growing number of people who wish to discredit the Bible, who do not believe the truths of it. We must be prepared for the battle of the Bible with every weaponry at our disposal. What we're proposing in this lesson is that one of the evidences that the Bible came from God and not from the minds of men is the brevity of it in style and the conciseness of the record. The lesson will not have a multitude of scripture references because the nature of the lesson is talking about the Bible, not as much as learning the lessons from it. Obviously, as we consider the brevity of it, we shall cite biblical texts to prove the points that are made. The thoughtful student of the Bible is soon impressed with the briefness of the various books that make up the Bible. For example, consider the book of Genesis, only 50 chapters, covering about 46 pages in my Bible. It covers the origin of the world and all that is in it. Human history for approximately 2,000 to 3,000 years, several centuries longer than Christ's day until now. All of this is reported in less space than is used each month in an issue of Reader's Digest. Obviously, the writers were restricted in what they said and how much. It is not like men to cover such great spans of time so rapidly. The first 34 verses tell us of the entire creation story, not only of man's world, but of all the universe. The vegetable and animal kingdoms are included, as well as the creation of humanity. Only 4 verses are used to tell us of God's creation of man, and how man is in the image of God, and how he is a living soul in man's relationship to all the material and animal world. The very opening verse of the Bible is very compacted. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. These are but 10 words, the length of an abbreviated telegram. It includes all the major elements of our world. In the beginning, time. God, that suggests the origin of energy and power. Created, the actual expenditure of energy. Heaven, the air, space, heavenly bodies, and all therein of a material substance. And earth, our material world on this planet, our globe. Time, space, matter, energy, all are included in this opening verse. When you compare the amount of space given in the Bible to this momentous event with a daily newspaper, you're impressed with the brevity of the report. The writer of Genesis used less than one column of newsprint to tell the entire account of creation. Now, this is not like a report of total human origin. In fact, men have turned out volumes discussing these few verses of the Bible that gives us this information. And brevity is characteristic of the New Testament as well as the Old. Matthew has but 28 chapters, using 34 pages. Mark has 16 chapters using 22 pages. Luke has 24 chapters using 36 pages. And John has 21 chapters using only 27 pages. And altogether, in only 119 pages, and much of it is repetitious, each was telling the most remarkable account, the Messiah who came to redeem mankind. Friend, if uninspired men had been reporting, surely volumes would have been written. Have not men continued to add books on top of books in dealing with the brief accounts of these 4 writers? Why, the history of the early church is told in only 28 chapters and 35 pages in the book of Acts. Over 30 years of this remarkable institution are covered. It was written with restraint. It was written with brevity. It is unique in the writings available for man to read. It is not characteristic of man alone, but was that which reflects a guidance and an inspiration. Not only are the books brief, but the records of many incidences are so abbreviated, yet so profound and overflowing with richness that none can fathom their depth. The fall of man was recorded in only 24 verses. What a profound effect this has had on all mankind. In these few verses, we read of the origin of sin in the world and the results that followed. Here we find the basis for the need of a Savior. Matthew used only 17 lines, and Mark and Luke used only 9 lines each to record the baptism of Jesus, the appearance of the dove, and the all-important testimony from the mouth of the Father concerning the authority and identity of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In about 25 lines, just 8 verses, the record of the transfiguration of Jesus is given in Matthew chapter 17. And here we are taught, as were the apostles who were present, the superiority of Christ and his law over everything else, including the law given by God through Moses to the Israelites, and the law under which the great prophet Elijah served. The appearance of those two Old Testament characters provides evidence that there is life after this life. For the second time, the voice of God is recorded to have acknowledged Jesus as his Son. Friend, the authority of Christ is established when God said, "Hear ye him." Actually, these lines are only half lines, covering but half one half of a page, in only one of two columns. Yet there is no revelation that is more significant than this, unless it be the resurrection of Christ. Matthew mentioned but two appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. Mark mentions 3, as does Luke, and John mentions 4. To get the entire list of appearances of Jesus after he arose, we must read from all 4 of the writers as well as from the epistles. But surely this shows the power of restraint exercised upon those whose pens wrote down these accounts. One of the great studies of humanity is seen in the man Saul of Tarsus. Once an arch-enemy of Christ, yet this was told in only 2 verses in the book of Acts. Only 2 verses are used to describe the dramatic moment when he first preached the very Christ that he once persecuted. A matter of extreme importance to the early church was the martyrdom of James at the hand of Herod. He was the first martyr among Christians as far as the inspired record gives. We wonder how he died. What charges were placed against him? What was the effect on the church? Yet all this that human curiosity would have reported is omitted. The inspired writers used only 11 words to tell about it. Yes, the things not said in Scripture point to a divine inspiration of it. Read the book of John. John was a very close associate of Jesus, wasn't he? He doubtless knew very much about him, as much as any other. And yet, he omitted some matters that most would have considered so significant, such as the birth of his forerunner, John the Baptist. He did not even record the birth of Jesus. He omitted his genealogy, the youth of Jesus, his baptism, his temptation, the transfiguration, his ascension. Contrast that to famous works of the second century, which devoted 25 chapters to the time of the appearance of the angel to Mary until the slaughter of the children around Bethlehem upon the command of Herod. Man's tendency left to himself is to be voluminous, lengthy in writing, while God's book is characteristically brief. An important omission is seen in the number of days that Jesus' life is actually mentioned. Jesus lived approximately 12,000 days upon the earth. Only 120 of them, or thereabouts, were in what we call his active and earthly ministry. But John mentions events in only 20 of those days. In all four of the first books of the New Testament, only 34 days are included. Yet who can fathom the wealth of information related therein? Almost one-third of John's book is concerned with one day. No wonder John wrote, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 20, 30 and 31. And John closed his book, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, of which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. The brevity of the report of the most remarkable being is yet sufficient to produce the faith that we must have in order to be saved. The book of Acts gives such a partial report of the work of such notables as Peter and Paul. In reality, the book of Acts is a book of the record of some of the acts of some of the apostles. And yet, sufficiency abounds for us to know the Lord's church, and the plan of salvation, and the use of miracles, and the spread of the kingdom, and many other matters. We know nothing of facts that men would consider so important if only men had composed the book, such as the birth, the death, and more personal information regarding the appearance of these apostles. The Scriptures do not even give us a personal appearance report of the Lord as far as his physical nature is concerned. What color was his hair, his eyes? How tall was he? Was he large or small? The absence of such details are not characteristic of men when they write as a man, but such was of no concern in revealing the story of salvation and the Savior. It all adds up to additional evidence that the book called the Bible is unique. It's different from writings that come from the minds of men. Yes, the conclusion is inescapable, namely, that men do not write like this when left to themselves. The explanation we offer for this quality of the Bible is that God was the author, and men were the writers as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Truly, the Bible is God's book. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.